This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are glad to kick off our show today with our good friend Alan Stack. It is Stack Optical. They're located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway. 303-321-1578 is the number, and it is stackoptical.com. Mr. Stack, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you,
it
Scott.
It's great
to see you.
Hey, I know people can't see you, but you look like you're ready to tee off on hole number one here.
Man. Cool-looking shirt there.
Just having the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, sometimes we can't get out and play. It's just cool to put on a golf shirt and act like
we're going, right?
And,
you know, as I said, I've already been at work today. So.
All right. Well, I tell you, you know, when you look back, and I tell you what, over these last few months in different businesses that, you know, I've dealt with just and then dealing with all of our clients, boy, I tell you, the strong survive and to make it through what everybody has made it through these last few years you got to be doing something right. You got to be willing to kind of think on your feet and rotate the business model every once in a while. But Stack Optical is strong and going forward.
No, you're right. A lot of times, too, you know, with all these supply chain issues and that kind of stuff. And so far, we've been able to plan ahead, and that hasn't affected us too much. You know, some of the real specialty product might take an extra day or two, but sure. I'm still running 3 or 4 day turnaround. And it's really making a difference. You're trying to stay ahead of the game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, and we'll just kind of go through a few of the things that you do there, but one thing we hear over and over again is just everybody breaks glasses at some point.
Right.
Something goes wrong. And repairs are, you know, hard to find somebody that knows what they're doing with anything these days, but mostly with all the different frames and types of glasses you must see. And I just went on your website today and just grabbed a couple of these. But real quick before you answer, here's one from Mr. Smith here. And I know that sounds kind of fishy probably, but I would give you the first name. Hey, he put it on there, Thea Smith, all right? Fast and friendly service. I lost a screw in my glasses and Stack Optical repaired them in just a few minutes. They noticed it was stripped and took the extra time to bend the screw so it wouldn't come out again. No charge for the repair, but I'll definitely be going back for new frames in the future, and they have a great selection. And I can go on and on, but I mean, that's what those people say.
Yeah, those repairs, you know, years ago I used to, seems like I was always soldering. Problem is a lot of these new frames and the metals they're made out of, I can't do as many solders, and a lot of them can't be soldered. If it can, especially the ones that were made, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, I can do a solder. You can't even tell it was soldered. But now with these, they've mixed so many different metals together, and not necessarily in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, I can take those lenses, if I can't fix the frame, and find a frame that the lenses will fit into. So, you know, somebody's not out, not only the cost of the frame, but you know, cost of new lenses, and some of these lenses get pretty expensive.
Sure.
And so that's one of the options that we offer that most places can't, because we'll re-edge a lens into another frame.
Right.
So typically, if somebody comes one way or another, we can get something fixed for them.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, broken nose pads, eye wire screws, and that kind of stuff, typically we can take care of that.
You've probably seen people come in wearing their glasses about everywhere on their nose except where they fit, you know.
On top of the head just drives me crazy. It's so hard on the frames. They're not designed for that.
Talk about that a minute. What are some of the things that we can do to help our glasses?
Yeah, no, that just drives me crazy when I see people wearing them on top of their heads. And the other thing is, too, then they put them on the straps and this kind of stuff and wonder why their lenses get scratched. Well, you know, you bend down, they're sitting on those cords, and then they bang into stuff. You know, the best place for a pair of glasses is on your face. If it's not on your face, put it in the case.
Right. There's a reason why they come in a case, right?
Right. Exactly.
Again, it's Alan Stack, and it is Stack Optical. And how many years now?
I took over in 1992. Okay. My father started in 1968.
Wow.
And I've been doing it 42 years.
Wow.
So I started when I was in high school. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing with the repairs is you can take... If the frames are good and they love the frame, you can put
new lenses in that. And they don't have to leave. See, most places say, yeah, we'll put new lenses in it, but we got to keep your frame. We don't. we can go ahead and take all of our measurements. We scan the lens. So then we make up the lenses. You come in and we just pop them in. So you don't have to leave the glasses. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to put new lenses in this because I can't afford to be without the frame. Sure. You don't have to.
Wow.
We've got a lot of options because we have our own lab.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about that a minute because, I mean, that is, I tell you, we are not a patient society.
No.
Most people don't like waiting for anything. And, man, I'm sure most people are shocked if they are new to you.
Right.
Which
that we can get them in a few days.
Get them in a few days.
Right.
I mean, they're like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no, it makes a huge difference having our own lab. You know, we order our blanks from another lab that's just like us. It's a family operation. They make the blanks. We get those in, and then we process them. Typically, we have them done in a couple hours, and it usually is 2 to 3 days for us to get those blanks, depending on the material. You know, some people want transitions, or they have a special progressive, or one of the things I specialize in are those really difficult prescriptions. You know, if they have a lot of prism, or they're a super high minus, or a myope, you know, I have frames set up to that I can put those lenses together, and they look much thinner than they normally would.
Right.
But anyway, it makes a huge difference when you have your own lab.
How much of a variance can there be, have you seen, between one eye and the other with people? I mean,
we're seeing a lot of that, too, is these people are coming back after they had LASIK 20 and 30 years ago. LASIK wasn't very good back then. So you had the healing process, and all of a sudden somebody who was very nearsighted, now they're farsighted. But it only happened to one eye. So they've got these really strange prescriptions. But we can accommodate for that. But that's where a lot of that came from.
Right.
And God forbid those people in the 80s that had the RK surgery. You know, that was, you know, they were cutting the corneas. I was fitting contacts back in the 80s. And I would look at their corneas underneath a slit lamp. And it would look like the surface of the moon, the way it was healing and this kind of stuff. And some of them we couldn't do anything for. We had to send them out for corneal transplants. And these people went in because they didn't want to wear glasses. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a big risk, just not wanting to
wear glasses. Yeah, anytime you cut on the eye, there's always that risk.
Yeah.
Glasses are pretty safe.
Right. Service is something you've always prided yourself on. You're like I say, your family name and all is on the business. So that's one thing we hear over and over. And I tell you, there's not a time I don't walk in. I'll see some older folks. I'll see some middle-aged folks, see some younger folks, which that means families stick with you, don't they?
They do. Typically, if I have somebody... I've had so many clients that came to us when we were a kid. Now they're in their 40s and 50s. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I love going, you know, and I still use paper records.
Yeah.
I love paper records, you know. Just a computer is so impersonal. And actually, my receipt machine is the same receipt machine my dad was using in the 60s. We still handwrite our receipts.
Well, and what's cool with this new, I sort of say new location, what have we been there now, a couple of years?
This is our fifth year.
Gosh.
Yeah, and, you know, we were in the other location for, 45 years?
Yeah. But super easy parking. I just put
that in.
Yeah,
a lot better
than
it was when we were in Cherry Creek.
Exactly. Man, you just pull up, walk 20 feet, you're in the door. But I think the feel that you get in there, and I know in your website, I think you described it as a boutique shop, but I mean, it is just a friendly, I mean, you feel like you are getting that individual attention that you don't get anywhere, anymore.
It's not a question of feel. It's completely different than other places. You know, we try to discourage people just going and looking at frames. And the reason for that is get us involved. Use our experience, because what we'll do is look at that prescription. And then we can tell you what frames will work and what won't.
Yep.
You might fall in love with a frame that you picked out, and then we have to be, and it's heartbreaking. I say, well, I can't do that because it won't work with your prescription.
Right.
You know, let us be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we encourage.
Sure. And, you know, you go into big box stores, and I want to talk about online stuff here in a second, but that person... You don't know anything about that person that's making a judgment call and telling you what glasses are good for you.
Right.
This is what you've done your whole life, and you're going to be there tomorrow. So it's not going to walk in and be different person, or that person's gone in this day and time we live in. You never know.
Exactly.
So, man, they've got the consistency of the care that you offer.
Right. Exactly. No, that's what it's all about, Scott.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's Stack Optical and located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway. Now, on the website it says located in Villa Monaco. So that's the shopping center, right?
Yes.
So Villa Monaco right there. And that's at Evans.
You know, technically that's in the lease.
Is it really?
They want us to promote Villa Monaco.
Oh, okay. Well, we just did. Tell them they owe you some money. We just did it on the radio.
That's
all right. But again, the number is 303-321-1578. Now, let's talk about, because I know you were strictly by appointments there for a long time.
We're still by appointments.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll probably be like that for the foreseeable future. But, you know, if you're in the area, just knock on the door. We even have a sign on it. Just, you know, if the door is locked, just knock on it.
Okay.
Typically, we try to work every.
Sure.
But, yeah, we're still by appointment. And a lot of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then they can take the time they need and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to talk about online for a minute because, man, I tell you, nothing aggravates me more than people. You know, first of all, I think we ought to support businesses here in Colorado. That's number one. And especially, you know, family-owned businesses like that. But, I mean, there's so many things that the online purchase and eyewear will not get you. Let's break that down.
Well, what we were just talking about, we try to discourage from people just coming in and picking out a frame and this kind of get us involved. Well, when you're online, there's nobody there to help you.
Yeah.
They'll just say, hey, pick out the frame that you like. We'll make them up. You know how many times we get people into the office and they're saying, well, can you fix these? Well, no, you can't put a fit into a frame that wasn't fit properly to begin with. And we can't redesign something that doesn't work.
Sure.
You know, you've got to have the optician involved. And they don't have opticians online
to
help you go through all that. And also the prescriptions. There's no rules or laws out there to protect the people from getting the wrong prescription online.
Right.
So, you know, we'll check these and, you know, the measurements are off. The prescription is off. Or there's no way to fit them. It's just there's so many different variables and so many different risks that somebody's taking when they do that.
And you mentioned measurements.
And some of them, they come in, they show me their receipt, and it's like, my God, it would have been cheaper if you came to us.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're paying twice.
Sure. And when you talk about measurements, I mean, the reason why those are off because probably people don't have the skill and know even how to measure.
No. They'll say, okay, I want you to look into the computer and they'll take their measurements and this kind of stuff. Well, the problem with doing that is, let's say somebody drives for a living. Well, you'll fit a progressive completely different than for somebody who works on a computer 8 hours a day. You can't fit that person the same way. It won't work. So they use generic code in order to come up with their measurements. That's why somebody's always having to hold their head up in order to read. It's because, you know, they were fit too low. Or vice versa. They're having to hold their head down to look through the distance because they were fit too high.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to make a million neck
moves
to read.
That's why we ask so many questions when we're taking measurements.
Right.
So we can get that perfect. And then if it's not, guess what? I'm the one who eats it. I'm the one who starts over again.
Sure.
Can be always miscommunication.
Right. Sure.
You know, but we take care of it.
Right.
You know, we stand behind what we do.
Absolutely. Again, it's Stack Optical. And let me tell you, I've been trusting Alan and my wife, Victoria. We've been trusting our eyes to him, so to speak, for many, many years. And I tell you, you know, contacts, we can touch on that here in a future segment. But they, of course, they can handle all the contacts as well. And the eye exams, only $69, folks, for an eye exam. You are not going to beat that anywhere. And a very thorough eye exam as well. All you have to do is call 303-321-1578, get your eye exam scheduled. But if you're around that area and you've been thinking about maybe replacing some glasses or you need some repairs, get by and see them. It is Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. Once again, the phone number, 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. Alan, great information.
Thank you,
we appreciate
Scott.
It.
Good to be here.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to keep making your 30-year payment but own in 15 years? Want to be able to access your equity for future needs and not pay for it now? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been showing Coloradans how to own their home in less time without changing their 30-year payment. Home values are at the highest in their history. Take advantage of being able to access your equity for 10, 20, 30 years without making payments now. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Worried about inflation? Everything getting too expensive? Learn how to be able to access your equity without having to refinance and pay closing costs over and over and over. Do it once, and you're good for 30 years. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Tired of paying too much interest to own your home? Stop. Learn how to lower your total interest cost. 720-895-0500. Locally owned and operated since 2001, and where it's all about you is not just our motto, it's who we are. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a privilege to have Alan Stack in studio with us. You've heard about him for years here on our show with Haystack Help Radio and Sportsman of Colorado. And they are located at Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. The number is 303-321-1578. Alan, we talk about a lot of things on the show with you, but I tell you one thing that I wanted to get with you on just a little bit here is, you know, you do such a great job with the glasses and where they've kind of come over the years. The ones that you made for me, and I don't have a huge, I think I'm like a 2.0 now or right. Something like that. But those glasses that you made, they're not transition, what do they call the...
changes color?
No. The
progressive.
Progressive, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. See, I would have lost that contest. The progressive. Right. I mean, and Victoria, she just tells me all the time. Every time I put them on, she goes, "Those glasses look so neat." And I remember you had the same frame for a while that you made for me. But those progressive glasses, those are really, really nice, aren't they?
Yeah. And they improved them a lot from, you know, just 5 years ago. I think we've had two or three different generations of progressives, and they keep cleaning them up.
Mm-hmm.
So you get more distance, more intermediate, and more
And you
more
hardly
reading.
Even know you've got them on your face. I mean,
you're also talking about the frame.
Yeah.
That silhouette frame, that's what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
I've been using those since 2002. I was one of the first to bring them in. I thought it was just an ingenious design, especially with the type of lens that we use is unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the type, you know, they call it Trivex, but it's just such a strong lens. The optics are so superior.
Yeah, I mean, they're so
clear. And they're so lightweight.
Right.
And another nice thing about the frame is, you know, they come up with new styles and this kind of stuff, but they never change the drill holes. So, you know, somebody can take that frame and use it for 10 or 15 years. If the frame breaks, okay, no problem. Buy a frame. We can use the same lenses in it.
Right.
It's really a well-designed frame. They're not the cheapest, but they sure are the best.
Absolutely, they are great. Now, we've mentioned this before, but you have your on-site lab. So again, you can take those, and last time I had my prescription, mm-hmm. You made the different lens and made it just a little bit bigger for me to give me a little more reading space there. And I mean, there's nowhere that could
That's what's kind of neat with having our own lab. I can customize lenses, you know, decide, yeah, I really like the shape, but I wish it was a little deeper.
Yeah.
Or a little bit wider. We'll just use that same frame and I'll make it a little mm-hmm. bit deeper, a little bit wider. Or we'll change the shape altogether.
Yeah.
So, again, having our own lab makes a huge difference.
For sure. I want to talk about tints a minute, because I'm going to be honest. Before I met you, I never even thought about tints. Now, I wore a couple of different tints, you know, like hunting, just orange or the yellow, whatever. But most of the time in just a sunglass, just whatever 7-Eleven hat. And, man, I'm telling you what, you changed my life with just the
– Just knowing the proper tints for what you do.
Exactly.
That's huge. You know, I can't tell you times golf.
No.
I was sitting out there on a golf course, and the guy has got gray lenses on, and he can't find his ball. And I'm pointing the ball out for him. And I'm looking at him. I said, have you ever heard about, you know, golf lenses? Oh, no. You know, well, basically they're brown. Brown, what brown does is help illuminate the shadows that ball falls into. A gray darkens the shadows.
Right.
That's why brown is so much better for golf. Brown is also great for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be out there in a dark sunglass trying to scope a ridge.
Sure.
You're going to miss the animals. But the brown helps cut through those shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So, but on the other hand, let's say you're out on the ocean, you want a nice gray polarized lens.
Yeah.
You want to protect from the sun.
Sure.
And it depends. If it's just driving, no, I prefer gray.
Right.
Gray gives you the truest colors.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm being active in sports, brown is better.
Right.
But again, it depends on what you're doing.
Right.
And that's what we need to discuss.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just like the green lenses. You know, those came out in World War II. The reason they came out was so that pilots could be able to tell what type of clouds they were flying through. Green actually allows them to see the cloud, different types of clouds.
Really?
That's where green came from. So, and actually, some people really prefer the green. So we do a lot of green.
Wow.
So, you know, tints and polarization, right. It's like, you know, a private pilot. You don't want to put them in a polarized lens. And the reason for being is they need those reflections off the wings to tell if they've got ice buildup. So we typically, if somebody says, yeah, I'm a private pilot, no, you don't want polarized.
Right. So anytime you get on a small plane, ask the pilot where
you're wearing. Yeah, if we're in polarized, I think I'll
go to stack
optical.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk about contacts for a minute, mm-hmm. because a lot of changes in those through the years. I mean, what were the first contacts like when you started?
Actually, when I started, my father had a contact lens, hard contact lens, manufacturing in the basement of that building that we were in.
Wow.
We used to make the old hard contacts. They were made out of just plastic, PMMA. They didn't breathe. And one of the only way the cornea could get the oxygen is through tear flow. So you have a lot more red eyes, especially in our dry environment. So we would put these little holes in the contacts to try to help them breathe. That was the beginning of contacts. Then gas permeables came out, where oxygen could actually get through the lens, which was better. And then, of course, our soft lenses. And there's just been so many different advances now that, you know, they've got contacts with a higher water content, much better for you. You know, that's all kind of stuff that doc's involved in.
But right, right.
I was involved in that in the 70s and 80s.
Wow, that's cool. Now, as far as the exam, let's talk about that a minute, because, again, $69 and how you've been able to stick with that for all these years, I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's all on the doc.
He
just loves what he does.
Man, that's a very thorough exam.
We don't use text. The doc sees you from beginning to end. And, you know, I've always sought out doctors that are semi-retired.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it because they love it.
Sure.
They're not doing it, you know, because they got to. They got to make money and this kind of stuff. Typically, mm-hmm. they're all, I just love doing optometry. That's what I look for.
Right. That's the kind of doctor you want, too.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, we've talked about it before, but, boy, you talk about a window to your health. You can see a lot of things through the eye.
Yeah, no, our docs picked up on a lot of things, and then we refer out to MDs mm-hmm. and that type of thing. But, no, when you go in for your eye exam, that's one of the things he does, whether you get dilated or not.
Right.
He's still looking in the back of the eye. If he sees something that's curious, he's going to really say, hey, let's get the dilation and really take a look at it. And then if he is concerned enough, he's off to the MD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but, you know, you're only starting at $69.
I know.
You know. Nice. One of the reasons I started doing that is because a lot of the MDs, they were charging, you know, $200 and $300 for the eye exams. And they weren't doing the eye exams. They were having their techs do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doc would walk in and go, yep, that looks good. Sign the prescription.
Right.
But you paid to see the doctor. And I had so many people start complaining about that because a lot of the older ophthalmologists that did that were retiring. And the younger ones are so into using their techs. They're more into the surgery than the eye exam.
Right.
That's why typically an optometrist, in my opinion, you get a better eye exam because that's all they do.
Sure.
So that's really worked out well for us. And our doc has picked out quite a few things that we've referred on.
Right. And also, I mean, hey, we're getting that time of year now. You're seeing a lot of people on motorcycles and out riding their bikes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you've got a ton of glasses for, again, enhancing your experience in the outdoors.
Exactly. I mean, depending on what you do, I've got a pair of glasses for it. I, you know, somebody was commenting just yesterday about my motors, or they were going, what, are those motorcycle glasses? I said, actually, I brought those in for open cockpit pilots, flying the old biplanes.
Oh, okay.
But they look like, and they are, the old motorcycle glasses back from the turn of the century. They're a leather frame with the metal inserts that I could put, you know, prescriptions in. But You know, some motorcycle guys really like that now because it's true.
Sure.
But I brought them in because of open cockpit pilots that I had back in the 90s.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, no, depending on what you do, I've got a pair of glasses.
Right, right. Now, I know we've done the Stack Sports Pack for quite a mm-hmm. while. But
yeah, and they've changed it a little bit.
But they've changed it, and so I want you to talk about that a little bit. And I'm telling you because, man, that I keep that in my truck, and, I mean, that's all I need.
Yeah, no, what I really liked about the original one, it was a flatter base curve. But on the other hand, I had many customers that say, well, I want more of a wrap. Well, they've discontinued the flatter one, and now we just have more of the wrap.
Okay.
Which, okay, unless you have a high correction. Then I've got to do something different.
All right.
But, no, they've just basically changed their style, I think, basically, mm-hmm. because people were complaining about it. With me, I was putting so many prescriptions in. I like the flatter.
Right. And basically, though, it's still the concept of one frame and
one
being
frame
able to switch the
lenses.
And when I tell you, folks, when you know, sometimes you think, well, yeah, an optometrist can switch the lenses. I can't. No, I'm telling you, I can. Right. So you can. It's so easy. And right there in the field, I've done it. You know, right. been in a blind or something like that, you know, waterfowl hunting or whatever, and all of a sudden the weather changes, clouds change, whatever. Man, I've unzipped my case, boom, boom, stuck another lens in there, and been able to do what I need to do.
Yeah, there's two different ways you can do that. You know, you can get like a dark brown and then a clear that you want to use right in the early morning or late evening. But we've also come up with new types of sun-sensitive lenses that'll change for you so you don't have to change it. But you're right, that's the ease of that frame, is being able to change lenses out. Or you've got your hunting lens, but then let's say you have your fishing lens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just switch them.
Yeah, Kevin Flesh loves his too. I mean, Kevin's with us.
Yeah, works out really well.
Yeah, he loves his. Once again, it's Stack Optical, and really, truly, for all of your optical needs, whether it be repairs, your eye exam, your contacts, they can take care of you. Don't trust your eyes just to anyone, all right? Do it. Trust your eyes to someone, that I do and that has been doing it since 1968. And Al and his crew will be ready to help you. Need to call for an appointment, 303-321-1578. And as Alan said, during their hours there, and I think you're open till 5:30, right?
Uh-huh, 5:30 okay. during the week and 5 o'clock on Saturday.
All right. So, if you're in the area and need something, tap on the door. They will probably try to help you. But no doubt, this is the place you need to go to for all your optical needs. Family owned and operated. They care about you. They care about customer service, and they will take care of you. So 303-321-1578, and it's stackoptical.com. Alan, always good to see you.
Thank you, Scott.
We'll look forward to our visit next time. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Only an experienced trial attorney like Kevin Flesh truly understands the fair value of a personal injury case because he knows how juries make decisions. You and your insurance company determine the value of your case differently. Your insurance company enters keywords into a computer program to generate a dollar amount, probably leaning toward the lower end because they have an allegiance to their stockholders. You have a more emotional view of the value because you recognize the total impact of your injuries beyond economic damages. Kevin Flesh knows the truth. In our legal system, only a jury determines fair value. Unlike most personal injury attorneys who rarely bring cases to trial, Kevin Flesh spends nearly every day in court. He knows how a jury would likely react in your case, so he knows how to estimate fair value. There will always be a difference of opinion between you and your insurance company. Learn the truth from Kevin Flesh. Call 303-806-8886.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. This is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pets' needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today 303-708-8050 or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy. My name is Scott Watley. We thank you so much for being with us. Our show is brought to you by Blake Harris Law. Check out that website, blakeharrislaw.com. More importantly, and it's a great website, a lot of great information, but check out their reviews, a lot of great reviews. The number, 833-ASK-BLAKE, and it is good to have attorney Blake Harris with us once again. Blake, good to have you, sir. How are you?
Scott, great to be back on the show. Seems like getting through COVID, there's other things going on in the world.
But, yeah.
Certainly managing just fine. How are things with you, Scott?
They're doing well. And like you say, boy, glad to get through this COVID things, but certainly a lot going on, as you said, around the world too. So, boy, I tell you, it's busy, busy times for everybody. But, man, it is good to have you back on. And, you know, I actually sent you a text. My father is 88 and in the hospital in Dallas, and I've had to go down there a few times. And, boy, you know, we've gone over these things about medical power of attorney and all these different things that you need. And while he had that paperwork done a few years ago, it really made me see even more than I always knew, but it made me see the importance of having these documents that we've talked about time and time again. So if the listeners don't mind from a personal standpoint, but hopefully this will be helpful to a lot of people, let's kind of run over those things just real quick, and then we'll kind of get to our topic today of just, you know, if you've got someone in the hospital, and I mean, before they get in the hospital, hopefully you got this, but that medical power of attorney, And sometimes, you know, you get the loved one that's of an age where maybe their mind isn't exactly what it needs to be, and you have to make those tough decisions of they cannot go back home. They've got to stay in that, you know, facility, a nursing home or a care facility, memory care, whatever. Does that power of attorney in itself, in just normal language, give the directive person that's in charge of that the power to basically force that person to stay somewhere, or is there other specific language you've got to make sure included to give you that mm-hmm. extra power?
So the first thing is a medical power of attorney is only effective if the individual is incapacitated. So if you want to get your parents out of their home and move them into a nursing home, your parents need to lack capacity, because if you have your own capacity, it doesn't matter. Power of attorney says you can always just object by your own free will.
Okay.
But assuming that the individual, the principal who creates the power of attorney, has lost capacity, then yes, that power of attorney generally will give you all rights regarding the person's body, which includes changing where they are located. I would say it's wise to have specific provisions in that power of attorney that explicitly state what you're trying to accomplish, but generally a medical power of attorney will give broad powers will allow you to do exactly what you're discussing, Scott.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. You know, all the people you deal with, you've had clients that have come to you that have planned well with you and done things, and then maybe those calls where folks maybe called you, put it off, and then all of a sudden a year later they call you after something happened. So I'm sure there's always different scenarios. So I just wanted you to kind of take a minute and maybe think of two different types of clients and maybe what choices they made, how it ended up different for both of them.
So let's give the example of two families. Both of them are worth $1 million. We've got the first family where they don't do any plans, any planning. They decide what we're going to do is just focus on running our business, living our life, or for whatever reason, they do not go forward and make an estate plan. What ends up happening to this family, number one, is a few years prior to them passing away, they get hit with a lawsuit. In the lawsuit, they end up being sued for $1 million. Luckily, they have some defense to that case on their own, and they're able to settle the case for about $400,000.
Okay.
That leaves about $600,000 that remains in their estate. Now, assuming that probate goes down very smoothly, it's going to cost a few thousand dollars, but no fight breaks out among the children. You don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars in court to navigate the probate court. We'll just go ahead and assume maybe roughly $600,000 remains to be distributed among the first family's three children. We've got child A, child B, and child C. Now, just like most families, there are different challenges with each child. The first child has some addiction issues. The first child has some addiction issues. And so each child gets $200,000 because there's no estate plan. The government's just going to divide it equally among the three children. Well, the child with addiction issues ends up blowing the money and effectively hurting themselves, hospitalized, potentially incarcerated, and that money pretty much goes to waste in a pretty quick period of time. Child number two, they don't have any addiction issues, but they do have an issue with the spouse. And shortly after child number two receives her inheritance, her husband files for divorce. Well, because that money went outright to her and she deposited into a joint bank account, all of a sudden half of that money gets taken away in the divorce. So we've got child two, who we left $200,000 for. She only gets to keep $100,000 of that. And then we have child three. Child three, unfortunately, has passed away, leaving one child of her own. And that grandchild is autistic, has a disability which allows them to apply for needs-based government benefits. However, before they can get any government benefits, they have to spend down their inheritance down to around $2,000. So here you have a situation where there's a family with $1 million. They lost $400,000 because they didn't have any planning due to a lawsuit. Of the remaining $600,000, the first $200,000 gets blown on drugs. The next $200,000 gets cut in half because of a divorce. Mm-hmm. And then the third child spends down pretty much all their funds in order to qualify for needs-based government benefits. They get to keep about $2,000. This means that a family with about $1 million, because they did no planning, ends up only being able to pass about $100,000 to their children. So here we've got the situation where about 10% of the family's net worth passes on to the their children. Let's talk about the second family.
Okay.
Family that does some planning. They hire an attorney. They put together a good estate plan. They even take asset protection into consideration. For the same family, they've got $1 million. They end up getting sued as well, but because they've got a good asset protection plan in place, so strategies for making it hard to collect from them, they're able to settle that case for $100,000. So instead of being able to pass all $1 million down, they end up being able to pass $900,000, still $300,000 more than the first family because they actually had some asset protection in place and they had better leverage in negotiating the settlement. Well, now they passed away. Again, Scott, we're going to assume that probate goes down pretty smoothly. And after we go through this, I can talk a little bit more about documents needed to avoid probate. But
sure.
Assuming that the trust administration is pretty simple, you've got each of the three children to receive $300,000. Now, because the parents know about the struggles that their children are facing, what they do is instead of giving the money directly to the first child, the one with addiction issues, they have that money stay in trust, and they hire an independent trustee who will distribute the money to their child who has addiction issues, but they are going to do so in a manner that is not going to enable or feed the addiction. So that third child, that first child, is able to find a comfortable place to live, go back to school, get treatment for their health-related needs, but they're not able to spend it poorly or improperly or harm themselves with the money. So the first child really ends up getting about $300,000 worth of benefits from the $300,000 that their parents leave them. Now, the second child, as we mentioned, is doing pretty well. However, they have some issues with their spouse. This second child, they receive the $300,000, but not directly to them. They receive it in trust. And by receiving it in trust, they're able to keep that money at the time that child number two's spouse files for divorce. Because the money is kept in a protective trust, that child is not going to end up losing any of their money in the divorce. So they end up getting to give their second child $300,000 as well. And as I mentioned, the third child has passed away, leaving a grandchild who's autistic. But here, they don't leave the money directly to the grandchild with autism. Instead, what they do is they have a special needs trust set up for that child, which basically says anything the government could pay for, the trust is not allowed to pay for. So that third child or the third line, the grandchild with autism, they're able to receive their full inheritance, still get benefit from it. Just like the first child, they can find a comfortable place to live, they can go back to school or get certain health matters taken care of, those that the government is not paying for. But ultimately, they don't have to spend out their money, and they're able to derive the full benefit of their inheritance. So basically, all three children get to enjoy the $300,000 left to each of the children. So this family is able to pass down about $900,000. Wow. So family one, that it passes down $100,000, and then you've got family two that passes down $900,000. The difference there is about $800,000. How much does it cost to create an estate plan? A lot less than $800,000.
Sure.
A lot less than $10,000, typically less than $5,000. The cost of not having an estate plan is pretty much always going to be much more expensive than the cost of having an estate. So, Scott, I bet the viewers right now wants me to go through and tell them what should be included in the estate plan. So
absolutely.
That works for you?
Yes, let's sir. Absolutely.
So at the heart of most estate plans is a revocable living trust. And there are a few reasons that I will recommend a trust to a client. And I'm not a one-size-fits-all believer. In certain cases, I recommend a last will and testament to clients. In other cases, I recommend a trust. But if it's a family who owns real estate, they have children, generally, the trust is going to be the better fit. It's the same trust that I've set up for my own family and children as well. And with a revocable living trust, our client is able to keep full control of their property while they're alive and well and able to manage their property. Then in the event they become incapacitated, the individual they have selected can take over management of their financial affairs, distribute the money to our client or for the benefit of our client. And after they pass away, everything that they put into the trust stays out of probate. I do want to take a moment and remind your listeners, if you create a trust, make sure that you fund the trust. If you're speaking with counsel about creating an estate plan, and I certainly recommend working with a professional when it comes time to create your estate plan,
sure.
Then make sure that you discuss funding. How is this trust going to be funded? Is this funding included with the creation of the estate plan? Who's responsible for funding? And how do we make sure the first trust stays funded as time goes on? So you'll also probably want to prepare a new deed for your home, an assignment for personal property, an assignment for any additional businesses, such as if you have a rental property, you may want to put that into an LLC and have that LLC owned by the trust. And then also, when you create a trust, you also create a will, which is typically referred to as a pour-over will. A pour-over will says that any property that's in your name at the time of your passing is to be transferred into your trust. A will is a backup safety net to your trust. So when a client creates a will, they might just need a will, but if they're going to create a trust, they should always sign a last will and testament as well.
Okay.
Those are the two backbone documents to an estate plan, a last will and testament, and a trust. The trust can also be set up so that the beneficiaries don't need to spend down their money to qualify for nursing home care or other government benefits, such as if you have a child who's autistic or other disabilities within the family. And it also is set up so that the money's not distributed to any divorcing spouses, so that if a child goes through a divorce, their spouse is not able to take any of their inheritance. I'm a true believer that you should absolutely love your in-laws, love your son-in-law, love your daughter-in-law. However, you should keep money in the bloodline, and a trust will allow you to do exactly that.
Right.
In addition to trust, we will also create, also include in your estate plan, should be all of your incapacity documents. The first and, in my opinion, probably the most important document and probably most important estate planning document, also a very simple one to create, is a financial power of attorney. If you are working with an attorney to create your estate plan, they'll probably include the power of attorney documents, no additional charge. But if you're not ready to create an estate plan for whatever reason, I recommend going online, at least downloading some financial power of attorney if you're at least 18 years old. This will help your family tremendously in the event that you become incapacitated or incarcerated or outside of the United States and not able to manage your own financial affairs. The other documents that should be created to plan for your incapacity are all of your medical documents.
Mm-hmm.
This includes medical power of attorney, as we discussed at the beginning of the show, which allows another individual to make a medical decision for you in the event that you lose capacity. Next is a HIPAA authorization. HIPAA, as you know, is a federal law which protects the privacy of your health care. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agents to be able to access that protected healthcare information so that they can share that information with your doctor and your doctors can make informed healthcare decisions. And then finally, a living will. And a living will says that if you are in a permanent vegetative state, that you do want to have life support removed, or it can also provide other guidance for how you want to be treated in the event that you are not able to make your own medical decisions. So it's a financial power of attorney, medical power of attorney, HIPAA authorization, and a living will, which is also known as an advanced health care directive, or the technical term in Colorado is a declaration as to medical or surgical treatment.
Okay. You're listening to Protect Your Legacy. Attorney Blake Harris is our guest. It is BlakeHarrisLaw.com, the number 833-ASK-BLAKE. It is always a free initial consultation. So just mention when you call, you heard Blake here on Protect Your Legacy, and they will get you taken care of. Now, quick question. When you talked about the revocable living trust, last will and testament, let's say somebody, you know, just tries to write out something like that, or maybe they print off some forms and they sign it. Does that have to be notarized, or is a signature on a piece of paper suffice?
So in Colorado, if you hand write your will, it does not need to be witnessed. It does not need to be notarized. Simply handwriting all material portions of your will. It's a little bit unclear what all the material portions, but I'm just repeating the law, all material portions are in the handwriting of the client. It is signed and it is dated. That is technically a valid will. That being said, having administered handwritten wills, courts are skeptical of them, and they are not always recognized by Colorado courts, and they're relatively easy to contest. But to meet the letter of the law, a handwritten will does not need anybody else to be involved in it. Now, if you print up your will, if you use a LegalZoom will or you type up your will, then after you sign it, it either needs to be notarized or have two witnesses' signature on it, or you can do both. Colorado is unique from other states in that wills are not required to have two witnesses if instead you have a notary. So that's the signing requirements for a will. I certainly recommend having any estate planning document at least notarized. If you want to add signatures on the will as well, you can do that as well. But the power of attorney document, the trust, the will, I highly either have to be notarized or highly recommend having them notarized. Technically, a power of attorney does not have to be notarized. However, in practice, if it's not notarized, you're going to have a lot of places that refuse to accept it, and it becomes a huge headache. So my advice is, create the estate planning document. If you have enough assets that it makes sense to create a trust, I definitely recommend working with an attorney. For simple matters, a do-it-yourself will may be appropriate. But if you have children or own real estate, I would recommend using a trust and working with an attorney it is perfectly legal to create your own estate plan. You have the right to perform your own estate plan. You have a right to perform surgery on yourself as well. However, I can tell you that those tend to be the biggest money makers for the families that try to do it yourself. They make a mistake, and then they have to hire a law firm to come in and clean up a big mess. That ends up being a very lucrative business for attorneys. It is much more economical for the client to seek proper guidance from the beginning and avoid any of the common estate plan pitfalls.
Sure. And to use a law firm like yourself, where your main focus is estate planning, because I'm sure through the years and different things change, and boy, just to be up on everything, and that's your main focus, that's a win-win for the customers too, isn't it?
Yes. I've spent my whole career focusing on estate planning, been involved in thousands of different estates. We've helped many clients with big and small estates plan for their family's future. We've also helped them administer the estate plans after they pass away. We service all of Colorado. We do everything on a flat fee basis, so clients know exactly what they're getting into at the very beginning of the process. Nobody's ever surprised with what they end up being charged. And it's a big part of the reason that we have so many happy clients, and so many clients have been kind enough to leave great reviews online.
Absolutely. And again, you can check those out. You can just Google Blake Harris Law. You'll see it. But the website is blakeharrislaw.com. Great website. A lot of information. The number, we try to make this easy for you as well, 833-ASK-BLAKE. And when you call, just mention you heard Blake here on Protect Your Legacy. And once again, they will get you taken care of. So, Blake, let's say there's someone listening and they think, gosh, I've got a will. You know, I really hadn't looked at it in 10 years or whatever. If people want like a kind of a second opinion, so to speak, on documents they have, is that something that you can help with as well?
Yes, absolutely. There's one of three things that I'm going to tell you if I review your documents. I'm going to either tell you that your documents look good, nothing needs to be changed, or I may tell you that there's a small change or amendment that would be beneficial or necessary for your estate plan, or in some cases, it may be best just to start the process over and start from scratch, get a completely new estate plan, and get everything squared away. But lots of our clients have already done some estate planning, and there may have been some changes in their life, a marriage, a divorce, a new grandchild being born, or a new asset being inherited. If this is the situation, then we're happy to look over their documents and give our recommendations for what they can do to give them more confidence going forward.
Sure. Because, man, a plan that's not updated probably presents quite a few problems, doesn't it?
It's kind of going back to what I was joking about earlier. It prevents lots of work opportunities for the attorney.
Yeah.
If they don't get updated, but it also can produce some very unhappy family members when you find out that money's been left to a previous partner who they haven't seen in 10 years, or to someone who's become they don't actually want money to be left to. So, yes, definitely an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure, and this is very true in the estate planning world.
Sure. And I know you're not in the insurance business of long-term care and everything, but there are some things that people can do, and there's some financial things you have to look at before someone goes to a nursing home, all that kind of stuff. Any kind of just comments on that? We got about 5 minutes here, but certainly we got a few minutes to talk about it. But what about just some of the financial end of things with someone you're maybe thinking needs long-term care?
So the trick with long-term care is to plan ahead of time.
Yeah.
The farther you plan, the better your plan, the more assets you're going to be able to protect. Now, there are certain landmines in the Medicaid field that you need to be wary of. You don't want to cause any tax issues by transferring a home where you may be able to get a step up in basis. There's a few different strategies for planning for your long-term care. There's buying insurance. I don't sell any insurance. Long-term care is not real appetizing. Typically, it's very expensive. It has a lot of holes in the coverage. There's also the option of just gifting away your assets to your children. And then there's a wait-and-see method. And if you end up kind of with your back against the wall, you still have the opportunity and the option to do some crisis planning where, yes, a lot of the assets are going to end up going to the nursing home, but you may be able to save some of them. And, Scott, I know our time is limited, but I do want to tell listeners, if they want to learn more about my law firm and myself, feel free to go to my website, blakeharrislaw.com. There's a ton of information on there about the safe haven and asset protection. There's a free ebook that you can download. We also have Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, Blake Harris Law, where I'm constantly posting new content. It's very informative and somewhat entertaining as well. Or join my newsletter that you can sign up for on my website, blakeharrislaw.com.
Right. And, you know, Blake, and yes, you're right. They're very informative and some entertaining. I've watched a few, so you've done a great job there. But, you know, I want to tell people, too, that, you know, man, you never know when something's going to happen, and none of us have in our day timers or our phones on a calendar day of when something's going to happen for sure. But it's very important to even get some of these documents and everything for family members, for kids and things like that, too, because, you could probably take up several hours of just stories where people weren't prepared. Maybe they called you, they talked about doing something, didn't do it, and then all of a sudden, you know, a child maybe was in an accident and became incapacitated at, you know, 18 years old. So we're not just talking about seniors that need to do this, are we?
Absolutely. My children are young. They actually just turned 9 a couple of days ago. I've got boy-girl twins. But a friend of mine who's an estate planning attorney, his children are a little bit older. They went to college. One of them ended up hospitalized. Nothing serious, but enough that when my friend called the hospital said, well, we can't speak to you. And the father was kind of upset, saying, well, what are you talking about? She's my daughter, and I've been paying all of her bills. I'm paying this medical bill, and I'm paying for her school, and I probably pay for the booze that got her sick. They said, no, she's 18 years old. Without some power of attorney in place, we cannot share any information with you. So, yes, many clients and a handful of your listeners as well have been wise to plan ahead. You've got children that are 18 years old. Have them sign a medical power of attorney. Maybe even have them sign a simple will. Maybe even have them sign a simple will as well, if, God forbid, something tragic did happen to them as well. The best thing you can do is give yourself peace of mind, even if it's a very remote possibility of anybody being hurt or
needing it. Well, Blake, always great information. And, folks, Blake is our exclusive estate planning attorney and has been with us well over a year now, a year and a half probably. And I'm telling you, he does a great job. I've sent him personal friends as well that have been very, very happy with his services. So maybe you think you've got it covered, but you know what? It never hurts to get that confirmation. Let Blake take a second look at what you have, and if you've been putting it off like a lot of us did for many years, give Blake a call, 833-ASK-BLAKE. It is blakeharrislaw.com. Blake, as always, sir, our time goes too quick, and we'll look forward to our visit next week.
Sounds good. And just the last thing to add, remember, it always starts with a free initial consultation. So give us a call. Happy to provide you some valuable information. Scott, you have a great day and a good weekend.
All right, you as well. Well, again, that number for that free consultation, 833-ASK-BLAKE. Thanks for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio and Protect Your Legacy. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.